This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/sword. That's audiblepodcast.com/sword.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Welcome to the Sword and Laser Podcast, episode number 116. I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And this is the Fine Audio Podcast, it's just fine, where we talk about the latest releases in science fiction and fantasy, talk about all the news that's fit to talk about, that was redundant, and I'm tired and my brain doesn't work. I'm Veronica Belmont.
I'm Tom Merritt.
Wait, we said that already, didn't we?
Oh, right. Yeah, I already said that.
Off to a really good start.
This podcast's so fine. This it doesn't even know what it's fine. Talking about.
It's fine. It's been quite a day, man.
Let Has me tell it? You.
Yeah, yeah, it's been.
New
we got
puppy.
A puppy. We got a puppy. Mm-hmm. Lady Liberty.
Lady Liberty.
Her name's Liberty. Liberty. But I'm calling her Lady
it's just,
Liberty.
You're calling her Lady, but her name's Liberty. That's great.
Yeah,
that's
and great so I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before, but we do guide dog puppy sitting. And so now we're raising our first puppy. So we'll have her for up to 15 months. And then hopefully if all goes according to plan and I don't screw her up too bad, she goes on to be a guide dog.
So you go through all the hard parts of having a dog and then you get rid of her.
Exactly. I actually had a business model for this once. It was called Perpetual Puppy.
Yeah.
And so you have a puppy and you get to like play with the cute puppy all the time. And then one night you go to sleep and you wake up the next day and there's a new puppy there that kind of looks like your old puppy.
You're then, constantly potty training.
That's the problem. Man, I have had accidents up the wazoo already today. We just got started. But she is like not even leash trained yet. So she's like real. She's only like 8 weeks old. So
Welcome
she's real
to
cute.
The world. You're going to get really good at potty training. You know what's going to happen is you're going to keep doing the guide dog training, which, by the way, I am very in admiration of you for doing this. It's pretty awesome. And then when I get a puppy next, I'm just going to take it to you. I'm
be like, here, the pee whisperer.
You're this used to
my
this
new job. Yeah. I'm covered in pee all the time. Anyway, what's one more dog? But it's a lot of fun. The cats are having a conniption, but what do you expect?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cats and dogs.
There but anyway, back to the actual topic of our podcast. This is not sword and puppies. Unfortunately.
Yet.
Or is it? We kick off this show with a little segment we call What Are We Drinking?
I'm drinking a Fire Rock Pale Ale. Been doing the beers lately. On
you and the beers, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, part of that is because my wife is no longer in the same city as me temporarily. So, because we're moving to Los Angeles. I don't know if I've told all the audio listeners that. So she's down there already. I'm catching up with her in January. So opening a whole bottle of wine isn't really practical.
I do that every single week. Ryan never helps me. My husband never helps me drink it.
Really?
It he manages never to get done somehow.
All right. Well, now I have a role model. Kona Brewing Company Fire Rock Pale Ale. Very delicious from Hawaii.
Hawaii.
From the Isle of Hawaii itself, actually. Yes. It's good on the Kona side.
Excellent. I am drinking Two Angels Petit Syrah. Petit Syrah. Petit, I was saying it in the
petit
French style. Petit
Sava.
It's okay. It's pretty good. We have, so the Chronicle, the San Francisco Chronicle every year in the building has a wine sale. And Ryan's company is in that building. And so I go to the wine sale. And
nice.
The bottles of wine are like between $5 and $20, depending on which room you're in. And it's just wine as far as the eye can see. So I stocked up. I got like 14 bottles of wine.
Wow.
And I was still going through bottles of wine from last year. So I'm good.
You're good. You're going to be set.
I'm good for a while. Yeah.
Sword and lasers forever.
At least, it'll last me at least 6 weeks, I'm guessing. I'm anticipating. 6 weeks. This should be okay. Alcoholicsandpuppies.com.
Yeah, what a great combo.
I'm not really an alcoholic. That's a terrible thing to say. Anyway, but let's move on to the actual first segment of the show called The Quick Burns.
So do you think we can call John Scalzi friend of the show? He replies me on Twitter.
Yes, I think if he follows both of us on Twitter, he's officially a friend of the show.
All right. His new effort, it's a novel. It will eventually be an entire novel, The Human Division. It's a serial.
You should not tell him maybe that you just called it an effort.
Well, I don't know what to call it right now because it's only the first episode of the serial. So it won't be it's not an entire novel unto itself. It's an episode. Okay. Serial. Anyway, release dates, cover art, and all of that for the Human Division novels, all episodes have been released. And the first one's coming out Tuesday, January 15th. He's no longer a friend of the show, is he?
No.
He just unfriended us. Human Division episode one, The B Team. Now, these are DRM free ebooks, which means you can pretty much read them on any ebook reader you got. And they're 99 cents in the US, 69 pence in the UK, 79 euro cents in France and Germany. And then it's pretty much one a week every episode after that. So January 22nd, January 29th, all the way down until April. And then I think the actual full book comes out in May, but I'm not seeing the date for that right now.
And so is this something where he's writing as he goes, or is this already written and he's just releasing segments of it?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if he's written it all the way. I know he has finished more than one of the episodes. He's blogged that he's finished them ahead of time, like, because you don't write them as you go and then just publish them. You have to hand them over to be edited and formatted and all that sort of thing. I don't remember if he said he's completed the whole thing. I feel like maybe he has, but I don't remember for sure.
So the first
May 14th,
book,
by the way, 2013 is when The Human Division will arrive as a book, either an ebook or a printed version. If you're like, I'm not into the serial thing, but I do want to read it, I want to wait for it all to come out. Got to wait till May.
So Tuesday, January 15th is when The Human Division episode one, The B Team, comes out, as you said. So just put that on your calendars and then.
Yep.
Stay tuned every Tuesday for a new episode. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm definitely in. I can't wait for January 15th.
And then another friend of the show, the wonderful Ernie Klein, though I'm not sure if he follows us on Twitter, so maybe he doesn't count. But
he certainly hasn't given me a DeLorean.
No, we can't say that.
Although he's only had two and he gave one away. So.
He's a great writer and we loved having him on the show. But he is just signed a new book deal. And the title of the new book is going to be called Armada. And the North American publishing rights have gone to Crown Publishing, which is a division of Random House. This is all coming from Wired.com. The same editor who did Ready Player One, Julian Pavia, will also be the editor for Armada. And he has apparently secured a 7-figure advance for this title. Which,
well done, Ernie.
Is not bad. That's a all few good more things. DeLoreans.
Yeah.
A few more DeLoreans in the garage for that one. And I'm excited about it. I mean, he really hit a home run with Ready Player One. And so I think that work spoke for itself in many ways, you know, on top of his other books as well. So I'm excited to see him getting more success from that.
You know, and he wrote the film adaptation of Ready Player One along with Eric Eason. And there are already talks of a film for Armada. We don't even, it's a secret what this book is even going to be about, which I love.
I mean, he did write, he was working on the screenplay and then he was taken off of that project because he was a little bit too close to it, as he told us. And so it's.
But I think he's still getting credit for having done work on it, yeah.
Yes, but I don't think he's currently still working on the film adaptation.
No, I think Eric Eason is finishing it. Yeah,
I think you're right. So I can't wait to see that. I want to see Will Wheaton not only having read the ebook, but also starring in that film.
Playing himself?
But he's too old. Not that you're old, Will, but he's too old for that character.
The character of Will Wheaton?
No, the main character.
No, but he could play Will Wheaton.
Yes, I know he could play Will Wheaton, but...
He's really good at that. He's a ringer.
Anyway, never
mind. It's like he is. Okay, fine. Let's talk about The Lord of the Rings that's hidden on your Mac. this little terminal stuff.
Funny.
So not everybody, this may not be everybody's thing. We understand if you're not into the command line. But if you do have OS X and you go into the Mac terminal app and you type CAT space, and then you're going to type one of those paths to files like slash USR slash share slash calendar.
Oh my God, it works. Slash
calendar.lotr.
I just
and
did
hit
it.
Return. You'll find a lovely Unix Easter egg. It's actually not a Mac thing. It's actually just a Unix thing, I believe, that has been carried on through FreeBSD, which is the basis of OS X, and you get Lord of the Rings.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the first thing you'll see is a listing of all of the chapters, essentially.
Yeah, I am taking a screenshot, even though there's already a screenshot on the register. I'm doing it again anyway.
More screenshot.
More screenshots. That's pretty cool. I love little Easter eggs like that. That's a lot of fun.
This is a really nice one, too.
There's a great write-up on Wired.com on Steven Erickson, who claims he is not competing with George R. R. Martin. Now, I have not read any of his works. He's the author of the fantasy series Malazan, Book of the Fallen.
His most recent one,
popular fantasy series, which I'm sure many of you out there have read, and I would love to know what you guys think of it, because I'm a huge epic fantasy fan, of course, and I am always looking for new stuff to read. So you guys can tell me how you review those books.
Essentially, what's happening is they've been promoting Steven Erickson as, you know, fans of George R. R. Martin will love Steve Erickson, which is fine as far as it goes. But then they say things like appeals to fans of George R. R. Martin for its characters and intrigue, but goes leaps further in the realm of imagination, which immediately gets all the George R. R. Martin fanboys up in arms like, oh, really? It leaps further in the realm of imagination? Well, I don't think so.
Yeah, you shouldn't say it like that. There's no reason to say
that. Steve Erickson's like, that's not me. I had nothing to do with it. That was the Tor marketing people. Take it out on them.
Tor.
I love George R. R. Martin. There's room for both of us.
Silly Tor. Come on. That's funny. I can totally understand, you know, if anyone ever said something like that about my work versus someone whose work I really admired also that worked in the same space, I would be like, oh, that makes me uncomfortable. Like, don't say that. Like, it's all good. Like, we can exist in the same plane and be fine.
Tom Merritt, he's like Brian Brushwood, but so much better looking. I'd be like, no, that's not even true. And you should never say that.
Ow, you made me throw my head back in laughter. I hurt my neck lifting weights the other
You've
day.
Got laugh really, lash.
I really hurt myself. Ow. Hey, you guys like Google Play? Do you like Google Play? Do you use Google Play? Do you have an Android phone?
What about Michael Moorcock's new...
Oh, did I skip that?
New Worlds?
Tom, you're supposed to just go with things.
I know.
SFSignal.com
has the news about Michael Moorcock's new Worlds magazine, which is live. That's the news. There's really not much else to tell you there. Go check it out. The website features fiction currently from Luke R. Pebbler, Jetsy DeVries, Laura E. Gooden, and Jeffrey W. Cole, and some nonfiction articles like Ian Banks' article on Ayn Rand. There's some art, there's some video, there's some reviews. It does require registration, and most of the content requires you to buy the issue for £3 UK. Go check out Michael Moorcock's online New Worlds magazine. It's pretty cool.
I can't even say the name. I'm sorry that I would just change my name.
Michael?
Yes, Michael.
Oh,
I would call myself just Michael.
Now you can talk about Google Play pre-orders.
All right. Do you like Google Play? All right. Do you have an Android phone? You don't have an Android phone.
I have a Nexus 7 that I use as my reading device.
So does that mean you are going to be pre-ordering books via Google Play from now on?
Possibly.
And Gadget is reporting.
I pre-order on Kindle. I use my Nexus 7 to read Kindle books, though.
That's weird. I also pre-order books on Amazon, and now you can do that, too. With Google Play, apparently. So that's pretty neat.
Google Play, if anybody doesn't know, is the Google store for apps and music and books.
Yes. So that's cool. Good on you, Google.
All right. I will pick up the slack and tell you about Scott Lynch's amazing response to someone who upbraided him for having a black middle-aged woman running the pirate crew. We're talking about Samira Drakasha from Lies of Lamora, but Red Seas of... now I can't remember the name of the second book. Anyway, she's the pirate in the second Scott Lynch book. And the person said, Real sea pirates could not be controlled by
women. Red seas under red skies.
Thank you. Real sea pirates could not be controlled by women. They were vicious rapists. This is the spelling of the commenter, R-A-B-I-D-S. And murderers, and I am sorry to say it, was a man's world. Now, Lynch's response, the only other, you know, that's a troll. You should probably just ignore it. But Lynch's response is so brilliant. He doesn't say, you know, he doesn't pick on the guy like, well, why can't women be pirates? He says, yeah, you know what? Zamira Jerkasha, middle-aged pirate mother of two, is wish fulfillment fantasy. And you know what? Why shouldn't middle-aged mothers get a wish fulfillment character, you sad little bigot? Everyone else does. H.L. Mencken once wrote, every normal man must be tempted at times to spit on his hands, hoist the black flag, and begin slitting throats. I can't think of anyone to whom that applies more than my own mom and the mothers on my friends list with the incredible demands on time and spirit. Yes, Zamira Jerkasha leaping across the gap between burning ships.
I think we have to go full bore with this one.
All right, there's cursing.
Can I read this part?
There's cursing.
There's going to be cursing. Like cursing. The S word and the F word is going to be in the next paragraph.
Take it away, foul mouth Belmont.
Shit, yes, Zamira Jerkasha, leaping across the gap between burning ships with twin sabers in hand to kick in some fucking heads and sail off into the sunset with her toddlers in her arms and a hold full of plundered goods is a wish fulfillment fantasy from hell. I offer her up on a silver platter with a fucking bow on top. I hope she amuses and delights. In my fictional world, opportunities for butt kicking do not cease merely because one isn't a beautiful teenager or a muscle-wrapped font of testosterone. In my fictional universe, the main characters are a fat, ugly guy and a skinny, forgettable guy, with a supporting cast that includes SBF, 41, non-smoker, two children, buccaneer of no fixed abode, seeks unescorted merchant for light boarding, heavy plunder. You don't like it? Don't buy my books. Get your own fictional universe. Your cabbage water vision of world-building bores me to tears.
Oh, yeah, Scott! Now, what I love about this is, I mean, it's not just the spirit of it, but the way he's like, no, it's a fantasy novel. So forget you. This, you know, like, who doesn't need a fantasy novel for them? And what, we should only write fantasy novels that have big, muscly people and young, beautiful people? That's not wish fulfillment. The wish fulfillment is people who aren't that getting to kick ass and be who they are. And I love that he took that tactic to expose this for the drivel that it was.
So I like this episode. We have a lot of ass kicking by people who have been on the show before, basically.
That's true, actually. Scott Lynch, Ernie Klein, and John Scalzi.
Yeah, so high five to all of our badass former interviewees. You guys are awesome. Well done.
I'm not saying there's causation, but there's certainly correlation.
I just think we pick the best people to have on the show. I think that's just what it is.
Maybe that's it.
So you want to hit up the calendar?
Let's do. Starting with Peace by Gene Wolfe, out as we record this show on December 11th. It's a reissue, but it's a pretty cool reissue.
Nice. And then on December 14th, we have The Author's Guide to Paul Cornell, who many of you out there know as a writer of Doctor Who episodes. And also, he does a lot in the comic book universe as well with DC and Marvel. And he's coming out with a brand new book called London Falling.
Yes. I mean, I think that's what he's really like. Yes, I know I created Bernice Summerfield, who has never been on an actual Doctor Who episode and is super popular. And yes, I've written some amazing Doctor Who episodes, but I've got a new book out, London Falling.
And it has nothing to do with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So let's not talk about
it
anymore.
And it's still really good.
But he was a great guy.
December 18th, 2012, The Folly of the World by Jesse Bullington comes out. And then right on the heels of that, December 21st, that Friday, is our Sword and Laser video author's guide to Joe Abercrombie.
Yay,
of the First
the
Law
show.
Trilogy fame.
Nice. Yeah. We've had him, as many of you know, on the audio podcast before, and now he's coming on the video show. So I'm excited to see him because he's very handsome.
Is that what you meant to say?
That's what I what do you mean meant to say? That's exactly what I just said.
Because, you know, I thought you were going to say, like, I'm excited to see him because he's a really great author.
He
or he's a really nice guy. Or I love his kids.
No, he's just crushingly good looking. But he did a great IMA on Reddit this past week, and it was funny. And he knows he's handsome. He made jokes about it, so I feel comfortable being able to say that on the show.
It's a curse.
It's a curse. It's a curse. I'm an amazing writer, and I model good looks. What am I to do? Life is hard. On December 24th, we have Luck of the Draw from the Xanth series by Pierce Anthony and The Hermetic Millennia by John C. Wright.
Now, on our calendar, it does say that we have a Sword and Laser podcast December 25th. I imagine... In fact, I'm pretty certain that we just scheduled it this way, that we are not going to record that till December 26th. So Boxing Day, Sword and Laser will be the next one you get. And then we can all talk about our science fiction and fantasy presents.
All the good stuff we got. But in the meantime, let's take a moment to thank one of our sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many of the New York Times bestsellers. I would recommend, because we are reading it still, The Hobbit is an excellent choice that you can get on Audible.com.
You know, I'm regretting my decision not to go Audible. For The Hobbit, because
Eileen
is reading it on Audible and she loves it because they do the singing and she said the narrator is really good.
Yeah, it is.
So
it is
don't
really
make
good.
The mistake I did.
Or do it both ways like I did. Swing both ways.
You can go both ways.
You can go both ways.
This is the dirtiest Sword and Laser episode we've ever had.
Yeah. Audiblepodcast.com/sword. That's how you get your free audiobook. That is audiblepodcast.com/sword. And try The Hobbit. It's good fun.
Try The Hobbit. You'll like The Hobbit. Oh, and by the way, I think you can still go to audible.com/Sanderson if you want to get Brandon Sanderson's novella Legion for free.
That's awesome.
Just gratis, just on top of
just
everything.
Just try it. Yeah. It's worth a shot.
And you know what? If you really want to like give a gift to somebody and not have them know, give them a URL. Hey, I got you a free audiobook. Check it out. audiblepodcast.com/Sanderson.
That's Tom.
Yeah, you know.
A little mean-spirited. That's okay.
Then give him a big hug.
All right. Well, speaking of hugs, it's time to bare your sword, which is our feedback from the audience. There's more to it than just feedback this week. If you are a subscriber to our newsletter or a frequent visitor to our website and or forums, then you will know that we have made the Sword and Laser Anthology an official thing.
In fact, in a way, this is the ultimate feedback, which is asking you to share your stories with us.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of information about this yet because we literally are just getting the gears grinding on this thing.
This is the information you need to know. If we came out and said, "Okay, you need your submissions by next week," that would be too soon. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is this spring is when we're going to set the submission date, and we will set that date after the first of the year. But get writing now. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know anything more than that. Or if you've got a story, make sure it's all polished up and get ready. We're giving you that advanced notice.
Exactly. So you can just have it in the back of your head, you know, think about it a little bit, mull on it, and
write
that
it.
Way, and start writing too.
You know? Yeah.
So we're looking for things between like 1500 and what was it? 7,000. Words?
Yeah, no more than 7,000.
No more than 7,000, preferably.
Probably the shorter the better, but of course it all depends on the quality of the story.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not, as I said in the blog post, it's not going to disqualify you if you go over or go under. We're just looking for like ballpark, and if it goes much longer than that, it's going to be really hard for us to go through all the submissions.
Like, if you send us a 50,000 word NaNoWriMo, it better be freaking the Foundation trilogy or Arthur C. Clarke level, because... I'm not reading all the way through that if it doesn't like just grab me by my eyeballs and shake me around and throw me around the room.
Yeah, but other people have had some great ideas too. Like we're going to be thinking about artwork. I think we're going to be thinking about like all different sorts of stuff that you can submit. Poetry maybe. So there's a lot of different ways that you can submit, but it will be, the central theme is going to be, of course, science fiction or fantasy or some meeting of the two.
Yeah, we haven't officially sanctioned any of the extra ideas. They're great ideas and we will talk about them. Mm-hmm. But the one thing you can count on is we want your short stories. So
definitely think about short stories.
Get them in.
Absolutely. So yeah, start thinking about that. This spring we will, or before that, roughly springtime, we will start taking submissions. And maybe we'll even need some help with reading through some of these stories. Who knows?
We absolutely will.
We definitely will need help. Dear God, please help us. What have we done?
Casey started a great thread that's just getting off the ground at the Goodreads forum called The 12 Days of Awesome. Now, it hasn't been perfect out of the gate. No disrespect, Casey, but he could use your help.
Yeah.
In putting it together.
Because I think this is a great idea. And his main line, his like first day of awesome line is good, but I'm having some trouble singing it out loud.
The meter just doesn't quite match up. It's on the first day of awesome, Sword and Laser gave to we, Felicia Day reading Song of Myself to us,
yeah.
Which doesn't rhyme. And I don't know, I'm just having a hard time fitting the meter. But on then it goes to
the first day of awesome, Sword and Laser gave to we, Felicia Day reading Song of Myself to us.
Then it goes to No Abrams Star Trek.
But why do you want no Abrams Star Trek?
I want Abrams Star Trek.
I like Abrams Star Trek.
Less early Lemmers, I'm totally into.
Less early Lemmers, no Abrams Star Trek, and Felicia Day reading Song of Myself to Us.
On the fourth day of awesome, more Patrick Rothfuss.
Yeah, that's good. Yes. Yeah, so I'm agree. And sporadic reviews, also another commenter on the thread.
Five Iron Thrones.
Added that as well. But yeah, we need to figure out a way. I want to keep Felicia in there. That's fine. We just need to fit her in a little bit more succinctly, a little bit more rhymey. Help me with this, people. I'm usually good at making up words for things in songs that aren't usually in the song.
Please do not abandon Casey or Veronica.
No, we got to finish that song. Time
need. We only have so many days until Christmas.
We only have 12 days. Wait, that's right. True. Do we have 12 days? How many days are there? Almost.
Actually,
13 days.
Yeah. Like by the time a lot of people are listening to this, it'll be 12.
That's true. Yeah, like 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
14 days. So now let's move on to some TV shows, movies, and video game type stuff. Apparently, a Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell TV series is on the way. The BBC has commissioned a 6-part TV series based on Susanna Clarke's highly successful 2004 novel. This is coming from The Wart Zone. Adam over at The Wart Zone. Now, I tried to read this book and had a hard time with it.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before.
It is beloved. To be sure, I do not deny that by any stretch of the imagination. But I had a hard time getting through it. I have not finished it yet. So, but I'm you know, totally willing to watch the show too.
And if you liked Wallander, a UK show, Peter Harness is writing it and Toby Haynes is directing. Peter Harness also wrote for City of Vice and Toby Haynes, directed for Sherlock and Doctor Who.
Yeah, so, Sherlock.
Good folks here.
That's awesome. Also on the TV circuit this week, of course, The Hobbit, which is coming out very soon in a couple of days.
Oh, is that coming out?
It is coming out. I don't
have
tickets yet.
Oh,
have
I already bought my ticket?
Of course you have. Where are you seeing it?
I'm seeing it at the Century City 21 in Century City, California, down in Los Angeles.
Aw, bummer.
Yeah, well, the 15th is my the anniversary of my first date with Eileen, so I kind of can't be not in the same city.
Fair enough.
And then we're going to go see The Hobbit, and then we're going to the Google Christmas party.
Nice. That sounds pretty fun. Yeah. It's Colbert. The Colbert Report is having Hobbit Week this week.
Hobbit Week!
This is coming from Rob in the forums, and he says, I forgot to post this sooner, but it's Hobbit Week on the Colbert Report. He's got a bunch of movie-related interviews this week, as well as a bunch of other stuff, including a Middle-Earth map of NYC. Oh, is it last week? So we missed it?
Yeah, because it was posted on December 4th.
No!
So you'll have to go watch the old Colbert Reports.
He linked to the interviews with Sir Ian McKellen, Martin Freeman, Andy Serkis, and Peter Jackson. So I'm going to go watch those because they're probably awesome.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In fact, that leads us right into our book check-in because obviously we are reading The Hobbit.
We are. I've
been really trying to figure out how they're going to split up these movies. Mm-hmm. And I know there's places where you can go that claim to know exactly. And there are people who've seen it in previews who do know exactly at least how the first one ends. It seems like the first one ends after they come out of the goblin.
Are we having spoiler alerts here? I mean, is this something that should be?
I don't know this. This is just based on what I've seen in the trailers.
Okay.
It seems like the first one ends when they come out of the goblin mountain. And then the second one seems to take you all the way into Smaug's desolation, because it's called The Desolation of Smaug. And the descriptions are all about how Gandalf and the dwarves are in the Lonely Mountain.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be... Oh, that's weird.
I know, that's almost the end of the book.
I would think that it would be book movie one would be going through the Goblin Mountain, going through Moria.
It's not Moria. What? Right? Or is it?
Isn't it Moria?
Oh, maybe you're right.
I think anyway, it is Moria.
Okay.
And then book two is them in the forest and with Bjorn. And then the third book is them in the real mountain.
The Lonely Mountain.
And the Misty Mountain. Whatever.
Well, no, Misty Mountains are the other mountains.
No, okay. No, hold on.
The Lonely Mountain is the mountain with smog. And it's the Lonely Mountain because it's separated.
Okay, so the Lonely... Fine. Okay. Fine.
This I know.
Okay. That's good. That's what I'm thinking.
It doesn't seem to be that. If you watch the trailers, all the trailers show is everything up to the Goblin, to Gollum, the Gollum's Mountain, and everything after that. They don't show anything about Mirkwood. Not a single thing about Mirkwood.
Really? Nothing with the spiders.
My guess is that Mirkwood and the first assault on Erebor, or the Lonely Mountain, happens in the second movie, and then they save the Battle of the Five Armies for the fifth movie, and they add in the assault on Dol Guldur, where the necromancer is, which is not in the book,
it's
The
not
Hobbit.
Not in the book.
But it's referenced in the book.
That's where Gandalf goes.
Exactly. And it's referenced in Lord of the Rings, actually, in the council meeting at Rivendell. Gandalf tells about how they did the assault on Dol Guldur. And apparently they're going to bring Galadriel in because Lorien is right there across the river and must have been a part of it. What worries me, though, is that there's only references to this stuff in any of the Tolkien material, the Silmarillion, the appendixes for Lord of the Rings or Lord of the Rings itself. It's all talking about, yeah, we had this assault on Dol Guldur and we drove Sauron out and he went to Mordor. But seriously, like, that's all there is. So everything that they would film would be written by Peter Jackson.
Now I'm confused if they were actually in Moria.
I don't think they were in Moria.
Fine. Maybe that was just in Lord of the Rings. They talk about it, though.
Yeah, because they want to retake Khazad-dûm in the Tongue of the Dwarves. And Balin, who's in The Hobbit, right? He's the one who's friendly with Bilbo, is the one who ends up leaving the Lonely Mountain and going and retaking Moria. But then they stop hearing from him, and that's what happens in the Lord of the Rings when they go through Moria and they find that, oh, Balin didn't make it.
All right, whatever, nerd.
Those are the freaking Balrogs.
Fine, know all the things, even though I just read the book and I should know all the things anyway. Whatever. Now I'm mad at myself for not knowing the name of where they were. Who's going to judge me?
Well, you've corrected it now, so no judging is allowed. If you judge Veronica now, you're a jerk.
Yeah, you're just mean.
Yeah.
Let's read emails from people.
Okay.
We got this email. So remember we were talking about Monkey's Paw, the bookstore.
Yeah, right, and the biblio machine.
The biblio machine that I swore that there must have been a person inside of that thing handing people books from inside.
The biblio mat, right.
Well, Caitlin from Canada went, and she has confirmed that it is, in fact, a machine. And she went and used it, and unfortunately at the time, it was not quite working properly.
I went to Monkey's Paw. I took a video of it. I was thinking I could send you guys the book for your set, because she got a random book called The Dictionary of Mysticism. So immediately, as soon as we got this email, I wrote to her. I was like, awesome. So, person inside? And she said, sort of. I put my money in, and it made some noises, but nothing came out. A guy at the front of the store yelled, just a minute, and came back to load it for me. Once he was done, he gave me back my toonie and told me to keeping it stocked is a full-time second job. So there was human involvement, just no human inside. So anyway, she said I was pretty excited that something so relevant to Sword and Laser came out.
Well, thank you, Caitlin, very much. I think that would be a lot of fun to actually get a chance to get an actual book from that mythical machine.
The Biblio Mat.
The Biblio. What is it called?
They call it a bibliomat. I don't know if that's the actual
bibliomat.
Is that the actual name of it?
I like it.
I think it's called Moria.
Shut up. I'm going to kill you. And then Gord wrote in saying, "Hey, Tom and Veronica, I want to leave some feedback on the audio podcast. I really like the new overall show balance you guys have got going these days with the news and the audio podcast.
Stop, Gord.
And also the more relaxed feel that you seem to have. Alcohol. The audio show is the perfect thing to listen to late at night with a glass of wine when you need to unwind. I'm drinking a nice locally made Ontario Riesling for the record. I do enjoy Riesling. I love the idea of the audience being on the audio show, the plead your case scenario, especially in cases like Nick's. Have you heard back from him yet? Is he going to be on the show? As always, I love all the show formats, audio and video. Have a great day, Gord." Yeah, we did hear back from Nick, actually. He commented in the thread. I think we embarrassed him a little bit.
Yeah, he didn't email us, but which is what he was supposed to email us, but we're sorry, Nick. We didn't mean to embarrass you.
But I think he's in. We'll get him in.
All right. Mike wrote in and said, "I just wanted to say that I think you do a wonderful job." Well, you just put all these self-congratulatory emails in here.
To encourage people to send us emails.
To make us feel better. Mike said, "I started listening to the podcast in 2009. Since then, you have introduced me to so many great books. I don't often read along with your picks, but I usually add them to my to-read list and have read many of them later on. I've also really enjoyed the author interviews over the years. The author spotlights on the YouTube show are especially nice. Oh, and I have to send a big thanks for convincing me to sign up for Audible. Yay. My commutes to work are so much better now. Thanks for everything and keep up the great work." Well, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Those are very nice words.
It was. You can't hear me chewing, can you?
What are you eating?
My wonderful husband just brought me a couple of mochi ice creams.
You really, when someone says, "What are you eating?" don't say "my wonderful husband" is the first three words.
Ew.
You cannibal. He brought mochi. Nice. I love mochi.
So now I'm eating and not talking. I'm sorry. Okay.
Well,
it's the end of the show, so that's fine.
That's good. It's perfect. Do you want me to do the end of the show this time?
No, I got this.
Mochi?
I got this. If you want to send us a nice email or a mean email or just a regular email, you can do so at feedback@swordandlaser.com. The website is swordandlaser.com. All of our discussions happen over on Goodreads at goodreads.com. Search for The Sword and Laser. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, the phone number is 415-779-6736. That's 415-7-SWORD-6. We'll see you guys.
Bye. Hey, Veronica.
Hey, what?
What do they call the wind? They call the wind Moriah.
Shut up. Hate you.